Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Gave an introduction to our lesson, and the introduction to our lesson was on hearing the voice of God. And now, tonight, we're going to start our series on the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. And both of these things are essential in our lives. And I have chosen, in teaching this series of lessons, to make sure that when I teach these series of lessons, I am pairing a gift of the Spirit with a fruit of the Spirit, because I believe that we need to balance that out. The gifts of the Spirit can be really heady. They can make you feel like, wow, I'm somebody, and God has used me. And if you've ever been used in any of the gifts, whether the gifts to act, to know, or to see, there's something that happens in the being that just intensifies the Spirit of the Lord in our lives. And sometimes we can get an ego over the fact that God has used us. Well, the fruit of the Spirit kind of helps balance all that and keep us planted in the kingdom of God. And so this series of lessons that I'm beginning today, we're going to give a brief overview tonight, and then we're going to get into the details of the lessons. But this is about the power and the presence of God. And the key verse in this lesson we find in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The key verse is, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you," what? Ignorant. I don't want you unlearned. I want you to understand about spiritual gifts. It appears that the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, was giving them information that they needed because they were not properly using the gifts of the Spirit. Now, to have a tool and use it right is one thing, and to misuse a tool is another thing. We've all used a tool incorrectly, and it can be a good tool, a sharp tool, and a needed tool, but if we use it incorrectly, it's the wrong tool. How many have ever used a knife and always been told, never cut toward yourself? And I was cutting a zip tie the other day, and I still cut toward myself, and I knew it, but I'm just like, I'm good, I can handle this, it's cool. Reminds me of the time I was working in a cabinet shop, and this was when I was probably about 21 years old, and I was putting some molding on a cabinet, and I was kneeling down, and right about eye level, I was needing to cut something. And so I was using a knife blade, and I just cut and cut again. Well, when I cut again, I slipped with the knife, and it just went right down. That's funny to you, huh? Yeah. It's my wife's sense of humor. So it cut me real good. Well, here's the problem is there's profuse bleeding out of my mouth. I just sucked my lip in, what do I do? I can't walk around all day sucking blood into my mouth. And how do you go in and tell the boss you just cut yourself with a, it's not a saw. It's not some big tool. It's just this little knife. And I can remember going into the office and going, "Hey, Norm, I think I need to go to the doctor." And having to go. But I was improperly using the tool. And it's possible to improperly use the gifts of the Spirit. And so in order to not use them improperly, we need to know how they work. So that's what we're teaching about. And as I said on our outset last week, one of the reasons I'm teaching about this is because over the last year and a half, we've had dozens of people move around the country. And at least five of those individuals were used prolifically in the gifts of utterance. And so that leaves a vacant spot. And I want us and you to know that we need to give way to the Spirit of God. And some of you, I believe God has appointed, and some of you will grow into these gifts. And if you feel comfortable with what it is, then you can do it. The source is the same for every one of the gifts. The book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 4 through 7 says, "But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So those gifts all came from God. They're God-given gifts. I also want us to know that they're gifts of the what? Spirit. There's a lot of people running around out there that say they have these gifts, but they don't profess that they have ever received the Holy Spirit. And I want to say to you, impossible. And remember, there are many lying signs and wonders that are going throughout the earth. And sometimes we think we had a gift from God and we just had the wrong kind of pizza or too many pickles, and that's all there was to it. You know, it's just like we have this dream and we go, oh my, it must have been from God because I remembered it. But it has nothing to do with his word or his plan for us or for his kingdom. So how do the gifts of the Spirit work? And we're going to talk about just some basics. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are diversities of ministration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operation, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So you notice the word the same. It's the same God, the same Lord, the same Spirit. It's not a bunch of different spirits giving us a bunch of different answers or commands or words. It's one Spirit gives that word. Remember, we're baptized by one Spirit into one body. And so if it's one God, one Lord, one Spirit, then there shouldn't be division or confusion. Because God's not double-minded like man is sometimes. He knows exactly what it is, and he knows exactly what he wants to say and what his plan is and purpose is for our existence. And it's given to profit withal. These gifts are not for individual consumption, and that's maybe a bad way of putting it, but this isn't to make me feel good. God doesn't give you a gift so you can go, whew, I'm somebody. No, not at all. He doesn't give you a gift so you can make profit off of it. He doesn't give you a gift so you can become famous or have notoriety. He gives it to profit the church as a whole. So if you see people that are making profit off the gifts, they're probably false prophets. Because that's not what it is all about. So when do they come? And this is a very important statement that I'm going to make. It's very blunt and it's very concise. The gifts of the Spirit, they are instantaneous empowerment from God. Now, please don't misunderstand me. If God has given you a gift, that gift is resident. But you don't just conjure it up. You don't just come to church and say, okay, God, I want to prophesy tonight. Usually people, and there's people that do that. And if you've been around church any length of time, I remember, I'm going to just go ahead and tell the story, is that there was an old guy in our church, old guy, he's probably my age now, what I am now, and his name was Brother Joe. And Brother Joe was a good guy. He was a great guy. Many years later, I found out he probably suffered from PTSD and maybe a little bit of mental instability. And he'd get going in church, and if he'd get really excited, usually you could tell when it was happening. He's the kind of guy, he believed in greet the brethren with a holy kiss, and all of us boys ran when he wanted to say hi to us, you know, because he was going to just plant a slobbery old one on you. And sorry, I lost my windscreen. That's why it's so noisy. But what happened is you could tell it. You could see it building. And all of a sudden, he'd get louder and louder. And then he'd just jump up, and he'd start walking around the church. And every single time, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And yeah, and he'd be shaking all over the place. Exactly, sister. And we knew what it was. Now, my pastor was kind enough to know that we don't want to destroy people just because they're wrong. Remember, we said last week there's two kinds of false prophets in the Old Testament. Those that led astray away from God, he says, stone them. Those that their words didn't come true, he said, ignore them. so don't listen to them anymore. Well, what would happen is pastor would say, let's start singing. And he'd get his daughter over there on the piano, and she'd start playing, and we'd start singing, and all of a sudden the whole church would start worshiping. And then Brother Joe was a non-entity. He wasn't interrupting the service anymore, and the praise would overwhelm it. But he just, for some reason, didn't quite get it, and that's the way our pastor chose to handle that kind of circumstance. But what happens is God determines what he wants to say and when he wants to say it, and he will use you. Now, it is highly likely and possible, and we'll talk about this when we get to the gifts of utterance, that God could let you know hours before that he is going to speak to his people when you come to church. And sometimes he could give you a phrase, or he might give you a word picture, because some people are what we call seers, and they have a picture, and they begin to prophesy, and they're just describing what they see in pictures. I have a friend that works that way, and I said, I don't see pictures, I just hear words. I listen to the voices. He sees the pictures. And he said, well, this weekend you're going to be with me and you're going to see pictures. And I saw pictures. Well, I don't see pictures anymore, I just hear voices. So God works with us each individually. So they're instantaneous empowerments from God. So it's not like you are a prophet, so you go and prophesy whatever you want, whenever you want. I've had many people come to that church house, and especially from some cultures, and they'll say, do you have a prophet? And I'll say, yes, I want you to prophesy to me. And I said, that doesn't work that way. You're just going to have to keep coming to church till it happens. But they're impatient, and they're trying to use prophecy or a prophet for a purpose other than what God intended for them to have. So there are three gifts that fall under the power to know: the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. There are three gifts that fall under the power to speak: diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And then the third and final group of the gifts of the Spirit are the power to act. Remember, instantaneous ability, the working of miracles, the gift of faith, and the gifts of healing. And we'll explain the difference in all of these as we go along on our Bible study. But what I want to do is talk about, first of all, the fruit of the Spirit versus the gifts of the Spirit. And I want to compare the two because, again, we need both in order to properly use the gifts of the Spirit. First of all, the gifts of the Spirit are given. They're given by God. He chooses who he gives them to. And the fruit of the Spirit grows. So that gift of the Spirit, it's there, it's life size, it's full grown. Now, your exercise of it may become better. You may become more proficient and more aware, maybe stumble a little less, your timing will get better. But the fruit is something that starts small and grows and never ceases to grow. The gifts of the Spirit are instantaneous empowerments, and the fruit of the Spirit is continually present. It's always there. It never goes away. The gifts of the Spirit are for the edification of the whole body. It's so we can all profit with all, is what that word said, where the fruit of the Spirit is to benefit the individual. Now, that fruit of the Spirit does reveal the character of Christ to our culture. And that's another one of the great benefits and the reason why we need the fruit of the Spirit, and we're going to read that list soon. The gifts of the Spirit are a result many times of a request. It says, earnestly contend for the best gifts. Seek the best gifts. But remember, God gives the gifts unto man. I don't confer those on you. God gives you. Now, we may acknowledge the conference of those gifts upon you, whereas the fruit of the Spirit is born out of consistent relationship. It grows and grows. As we come closer to Christ, we become more like him. So those are the comparisons, and that's the way oftentimes we learn, is we learn by comparison. And so let's look at these gifts, and as we walk through the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, now let's see the contrast. The gifts are God's choice. He chooses who to give prophecy to, or tongues, or the gifts of healing, where the fruit is the individual's choice. We choose to develop in love, joy, peace, etc. And it's there, it's latent, It's available. It's ready. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's the natural outgrowth of the Spirit. So we might be able to say, well, I don't have the gift of tongues or diverse kinds of tongues, and live our whole life and be content that we don't have. But we don't have a right to say, well, I just don't have the fruit of love. It's just not in my nature. No, if you have the Spirit, you'll have the fruit of the Spirit. Now, remember, there are different cultures and different personalities and different family relationships that cause us to be a certain way. I know of an individual, he just seems the most, has the greatest peace and temperance of any man I ever know. And he says, well, I've always been that way even before I got the Holy Ghost. It's just the way my family is. And so it may not be a fruit of the Spirit, but the Spirit does accent that fruit of the Spirit. The gifts are a result of timing and an encounter. So we may have an encounter with God. He empowers us, and then the timing comes right, and God says, I want to work, and you act. And how many of you are impulsive? You know what? Impulsive people raise their hands immediately. That's not a hard one. How many of you are stubborn? Some of you need to get your hand up a little. Put the other one up now. That's what it's all about, man. We're going to give up now. Is that we have personality traits, and God uses, he gives us, but he doesn't take our personality or our character or who we are away from us. That's why the gifts are used differently. Like I said, my friend is a seer, and he's a very visual person. I happen to be a visual person, but for some reason, God didn't speak to that me that way, and I got used to him speaking in his voice to me. There's a certain voice and a nudge that he gives to me, and so I conditioned myself for that, and I'm aware of that, where he has all these visions, and then he has to categorize these visions and take care of them. But the gifts are a result of that encounter with God, and God gives that to you or to me. And the fruit of the Spirit is a direct result of continued intimacy with God. The closer we get to God, the more we become like him. Have you ever looked at a couple that's been married 40 or 50 years and that you say, man, they look alike? Be careful who you marry. Sorry. But we take on one another's personality traits and we merge our lives. And my wife and I were talking about this. Who you marry is huge. That's the second biggest thing in your life besides your relationship with Jesus Christ, because they're going to help chart the course of your life. And so find somebody who's good and healthy for you. The gifts are operational through continual listening. We tune our ears in. We learn to hear the voice of God. We learn to feel the voice of God. We learn to see what he sees. And there are some things that just become second nature with us. We call it muscle memory. Is there, maybe it's something that you haven't done for a very, very long time. It's like, say you... You like to shoot guns, and you've practiced, and you're good with handguns, and you could not use a handgun for years and pick it up and bam, 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 because it's, oh, gotcha. Now watch out for her. She might get you. But is that you get used to that stuff. It's muscle memory. We develop muscle memory in a lot of things. In whatever trade you're in or whatever profession you are in, you do things and you become proficient at them, and then you begin to do those things without even thinking about them. They're like second nature. And that's the way the gifts operate, is in time, if God chooses to gift you, you won't sweat it so much. I remember one individual, I finally went up to him and I said, Floyd, God is wanting to use you in the gifts of utterance. And he says, I know, he's been trying for like 5 years. And I said, well, what's wrong with you? And we're good friends, and of course, this is my personality, okay? And he says, well, what if I'm wrong? I says, well, if you don't give it, you're wrong. And remember, I'm not going to be harsh with people. I mean, if you get up and say, Thus saith the Lord, we are three. I'll probably say that was not from God, folks. But if you make a mistake or you stumble through it or your vernacular isn't right, and it's very interesting. God uses the mouthpiece. It's like theologians. We study the Word of God, and we're not sure who wrote Hebrews. But we can read the writing, and we can look at the language, and a lot of Bible theologians think it was Paul. And as I read through the book of Hebrews, you can see his bluntness, the way he compares things, and we say, that was probably Paul. How do you know? That's the way he talks. My wife's father grew up in Jamaica, and her uncle pastors in British Columbia, and he has a large contingent of Jamaicans. Well, and this is what's beautiful about it. If he has somebody stand and pray, and they're an Anglo, they talk like me. If they're Jamaican, man, they can get some flowery prayers, can't they? And they're just, wow. And I'm like, I like listening to it. And it's neither one is better or worse, but it's just the way that they talk. So if you talk like a redneck, you're probably going to give a redneck interpretation. I'm just saying. Thus saith the Lord thy God, thou art... It's like, what happened to him? Change your accent and everything. No, you don't have to sound biblical. You just have to give the voice of God. And besides, if you're giving an interpretation to rednecks, you might better use redneck. Or whatever it is. So don't expect yourself to sound like somebody else. And we're going to talk about sounds and feelings because they are important and they do play a part, but it is not just about the sound and the feeling. The fruit is a result of continually walking with God. And then look at this comparison. The gifts empower, but the fruit complements or adds to. And then finally, the gifted becomes more skillful, but the fruitful continually matures. So what I want to talk about, or I just want to list, is the fruit of the Spirit. And there's a very important statement made to the church at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, that has a double meaning. One translation says, there is no conflict with the law in this. So, he's teaching the church the fruit of the Spirit. Also, it means that there's no law against it because you don't have to say, too much love. You're too happy. No. Okay, church, we need to settle it down here. No long suffering. You need to be a little more cranky. No, that stuff, it grows in us and we become fruitful. So it's important that we let the fruit of the Spirit grow in us. Now, the cool thing about the gifts of the Spirit is this. You can have them all. You can have all nine gifts of the Spirit. And I believe that the Apostle Paul did have all nine gifts of the Spirit, and he used it. But I believe, this is my personal opinion, there's a gift for everyone. That's my personal opinion. Now, he's passed away now, and I say this because he said it publicly in a training seminar the year that we started our church. It was Brother Jack Yonce. He was our North American Missions Director, and he started church later in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is in the suburbs of Chicago, and he had also started a church in Appleton, Wisconsin, and somewhere else. And he said, you know what? I lived as a pastor for 28 years not knowing that God was trying to use me in the gifts of the Spirit. Brandon, we happen to have a muffler in one of those cases back there. I pulled mine off. When I pulled my mask off, it just went somewhere. And it's the same color as the carpet. So, he said, but once I got good sound teaching and figured out what it was, I realized God had been trying to use me in the gifts for years, and I didn't know it. So my prayer has been over the last several weeks and will continue to be is that God will help you and I recognize those giftings and be freed to use those giftings. Now, those of you that attend here regularly understand my personality. I'm pretty upfront, pretty blunt. And sometimes I'll still tell a story and say, well, this happened and I said this. I'm not going to try to embarrass you. I'm going to try to not embarrass you if God uses you and it's not quite right. And because of those two examples of the two kinds of prophets that were wrong is this, is that you, if you are not leading people astray, I might talk to you privately. In fact, the first time you do it wrong, I might not. I'll listen to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost might say, just give them some space here. They're trying to grow into this. And reminds me of years ago, Brother Libby was telling a story, and he said he was in a church where the gifts were just out of control. And he said, people were prophesying, and he's going, I didn't feel anything. I don't think any of that was right. And somebody finally stood up and said, yea, thus say the Lord, times are hard and things are bad, and I'm having a rough right now too. Well, I think that was probably not God. Another one said, ho, 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 Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. But if they'd have left the ho, ho, ho out, maybe. But God is trying to use us, and we want those giftings to grow. And so if we want those giftings to grow, we want them to be as prolific as possible or used as often as possible, but we also, it's for the edifying of the body of Christ. And well, we're going to hit that right now. We're going to see what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 14 and verse number 3. Here's the purpose of utterance. Now, we're going to go to the gifts of utterance first. It says, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and comfort. So those prophecies are those gifts of utterance. And by the way, whether it's prophecy, which is speaking in the commonly known language, and as you know, in our church, English is the commonly known language, even though dozens of languages are spoken. And occasionally there can be a time where God may speak in a couple of different languages just so another language group could understand. And I've been in services like that. I remember one time years ago, there was a prophecy, tongue and interpretation and tongue and interpretation and tongue. And then finally the English came. And of course the Bible says if there's, let it be by two or three at the most and that by course. And I'm going, I know what I'm feeling. And I know what's going on. Well, it happened to be there was a group of Romanians that were in service and God was giving them like, boom, specialized treatment here. Here, you need to hear this in your mother tongue. And so there can be some odd quirks, but there's a purpose for the gifts of utterance. So note the limitations. God does not, and the Word of God is not a book of feelings. It's a book of facts. But there's feelings attached to it, okay? So somebody said to me this a couple of weeks ago when we were having dinner. They said, my father said, sometimes in Pentecost, the struggle is people say, did you feel that? And because they felt it, they will follow it, but they won't feel out the facts. Now, there are feelings in there, and we will feel things likely when God's using the gift, but they got to be grounded in the facts. So even when you feel that unction or feel that utterance, is there sometimes where we just say, now is not the time. So it's for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So let's look at those definitions. The word edification means enlightening of ignorance or moral or spiritual instruction. So that edification is to build up. It's to make better. It doesn't say we use the gifts of utterance for rebuke. Nowhere in Scripture. And there are places where people say, that's what they think it's for. I'm going to settle the score here, so I'm going to rebuke. No, it does tell the pastor, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and gentleness. And so there's a balance even in the rebuke there. So it's to edify or it's to instruct or to exhort, an earnest, persuading, persuasive sermon addressed to the minds and the hearts of the hearers. So it's meant to stir our mind. It's meant to stir our heart and then comfort. Someone or something that brings consolation, well-being, contentment, to look after the comfort of one's guest. So these gifts of utterance are to comfort us and to edify us or lift us up, or to exhort us or to persuade us to follow the word of God or the will of God or the purpose of God. So that's what they're there for. So oftentimes, you will hear one of the gifts of utterance after a strong message or a real sweet move of the Holy Ghost or a powerful move of the Holy Ghost. And then there's, hey, this is what you need to do with what you're feeling. But it will always be grounded in what thus saith the word of the Lord. It will never take you away from the word of the Lord. So the gifts grant us entrance into the realm where God lives. They are what I call God moments. There are times where we just have to push through and do what we're supposed to do and be obedient and we press in to get done what we needed to get done. But then all of a sudden, God will show up in what I call a God moment and boom, transport you from that pressurized situation to that level of growth or hope or change that you've been waiting for. That's why, church, it's so important you be in the house of God as often as you are can be in the house of God. That's why we have opened up our assembly for worship, and we've adjusted our service sizes and scales and the way we sit, and we have a place where they wear masks all the time, but a place where, because we want people to be comfortable. We need to be together because there's something that happens when we're together that can't happen any other way. And if you want to argue with it, those of you that have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, don't see him for the next 6 months and see how you feel. D-E-A-D. Dead. You know, the relationship dies. Somebody else used to say D-E-D, dead. My friend, Brother Scott Armstrong, he said they get some characters coming through their church in Tennessee. Not making fun of Tennessee. My sister-in-law's from there. But he said there was a character that just kept coming through, and he was a character. And he says, I pastored rednecks, Steve. And he said, one day that character came back through, and he just caused a ruckus. And when he left, he said, one of the guys in that church said, that guy's an idiot with a capital E. He's an idiot with a capital E. However it works, it works. So, but we need those God moments in the church, don't we? And we need to be relaxed enough that we're not so uptight that we can't make a mistake, or it has to be perfect. The elocution has to be right. The way that we approach it has to be perfect. No, God is speaking at all times to mankind. And there are moments in time in the house of God where he gives space for those gifts. And we try to give space for those gifts. And remember, if something goes wrong, don't go chewing somebody out. That's my job. Okay? Whoever is in the pulpit, they're supposed to be in charge. And you'll notice sometimes when we've had a special speaker, they'll look at me and step aside. But people that we have regularly, like Brother Chris Green, he knows, and we've talked about it many times. The first few times he looked at me and I said, just go for it. Because there's an authority there, and they're supposed to take authority, and they're supposed to protect the flock. And so you don't have to overthink it and say, oh my goodness, was that God? Was that God? Was that God? Was that God? Well, if it let it go, let it go. And you can just enjoy the moment. So we're going to talk about the three gifts to know: the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. This gives us the ability to see by the Spirit into the lives of individuals and see things that we could not know unless God told us. Either activities, actions, spirits, mindsets, or give us knowledge of things that had happened or what they should be doing about a particular set of circumstances in their life. Then there are the diverse kinds of tongues, the interpretation tongues, and prophecy. And what that does is we provide timely, inspired words of direction by the Spirit. Again, it's by the Spirit. And finally, the working of miracles, the gift of faith and the gifts of healing. We impact individuals with miraculous transformation by the Spirit. We're doing what God tells us to do. Sorry, my left hand is not knowing what my right hand is doing. So, this is the categories and the way I want us to think about them as we begin to delve in a little deeper over the next three weeks or 4 weeks is, first of all, is the power to see like God sees. Those are those discerning of spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Is we look at a circumstance and we can see what God is seeing. Now, don't get all spooky on me. And remember, these are instantaneous empowerments from God. I remember having a conversation with a friend of mine. He says he has the gift of the prophetic. He's a seer. It's a different friend than the other one. And he says, man, when you announce that the prophet is coming to preach, people repent on credit. I mean, because they're afraid he's just going to reveal everything that's going on in their life, huh? It's like you get real nervous. He says, well, I'm skipping this service. Oh, don't worry, I take roll on that time. No, I'm just kidding. Is that some people just get as nervous as a cat on a tin roof when the prophet's coming, because it's like, oh no, he's going to say what I said. He knows what I did. It's like, don't look him in the eyes. The eyes, the door to the soul. It's just like, how come you're not looking at me? And we have a couple of them that have come through, and several of them will say, can I pray for you or can I prophesy over you? Because they want to have permission to do that, because it's not about embarrassing people. It's not dredging up stuff from the past. It's about helping, exhorting, edifying, and comforting. And the gifts are that way. You just look at the gifts to do or to act. They fall in the same category. And so we qualify the gifts by the intent of what's going on. And again, as we said, if people are abusing the gifts, you can tell of these people, bad breath is not going to heal you, but the gift of healing will. So those of you that know what I'm talking about know what I'm talking about, and the rest of you, that's all right. The pure, blessed are the pure in heart. But we don't use those to make us good. I remember T.W. Barnes preaching one time, and he said, and he wrote this in his book also in Living in the Overflow. He said, I was going from town to town, and back in the day, back in the 30s, they'd go into a town and they'd find a schoolhouse to use and they'd hang up a banner and they'd go around inviting people out to the house of God. And he had this big banner and it said, T.W. Barnes Healing Campaign. And anybody ever, not very many of you know who T.W. Barnes is. Anybody know who T.W. Few of you know who T.W. Barnes are. Most of you are first generation Pentecost, so you don't have a clue. And he had the prophetic. And he said, I stood back and looked at it. And God said, boy, how many people have you healed? Well, none, God. He said, take that sign down. And so he got a new sign that said healing campaign, healing and deliverance. It wasn't T.W. Barnes healing and deliverance, because it was about God getting the glory. And here's the cool thing about it. As God uses you, I can almost promise you there's going to be times when you allow God to use you in the gifts that you're going to think that it didn't turn out like it was supposed to turn out. But a little bit of humility never hurt anybody. I can remember, here's another name from way back. I remember, timing is everything too, right? So if you start prophesying in the middle of my sermon, you probably get shut down. Unless I say, okay, the Holy Ghost is starting to speak. Because preaching is a type of prophecy. It's foretelling the word of God if it's anointed. And I remember being at a camp meeting and there's hundreds of people in the audience. I'm sitting way at the back, and you remember it happened too because we talked about it. as that this like 30 some years ago, and I'm toward the back row because I've got a couple rambunctious kids, and we're just there so we can exit if we need to. And the Holy Ghost really started moving, and Brother Cleveland Becton was preaching. Well, Brother Cleveland Becton is used in the gifts, was known for the gifts of utterance. And I'm in that service, and I feel the Holy Ghost moving, and all of a sudden I give a message in tongues, and he says, "Not right now, son." I used to be able to fit under there. I can't fit under there anymore. I just was like, oh, no. And bizarre as it may seem, God had been using me in the gifts for, probably 14, 15 years by that time. And I'd never had that happen, but I felt such an unction, such a moving that I said, surely I got to give it. He went ahead and preached his sermon. The redeeming part was, is at the end, he said, "Okay, son, God wants to speak now. You can give that." He was aware of what was going on. Timing is everything. It's like if you tell your wife that dress doesn't fit at the wrong time, don't tell her on the way home from dinner. Yeah. Does this make me look fat? No. Who just said that? Never, never, never. You know, what we say, how we say it, when we say it, that's all integral. And I'm covering a lot of ground here, but these are ground rules and things to think about as we're reaching out to God, and as you begin to take risks and chance of God using you, that's very important. So we can see like God sees. So again, it's not for embarrassment. And then the next thing that we have is the power to know like God knows. So the tongues and interpretation and stuff, we're prophesying, we're foretelling and foreseeing what God is doing. But sometimes the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits, we're knowing God's mind. He gives us that window. Remember, it's the gifts of the Spirit. And so we're baptized by one Spirit into one body, and there we are, and all of a sudden God speaks to us. And you don't have to say it obnoxiously. Maybe that's a good terminology. I met one person one time that said, "Well, I pride myself in saying, calling things as I see it." You probably never met anybody like that in your life. It was like, "Well, I call them as I see them." To say if God tells you something about somebody when you're praying with them, remember, it's exhortation, edification, and comfort. It's not meant to tell them that you know more than they know, or I'm really connected with God. It's to strengthen them in their relationship with God. So you think about how to say it. It's like, my wife doesn't say you're fat. She waits till she sees some slim-looking guy and say, "Doesn't he look nice?" So all you skinny guys out there. I remember saying, "I see what you're saying. But I can't help it. He's diseased." Yeah. It's like, but so we can know like God knows. And then the next thing we do is we have the power to feel or act like God does, which is the working of miracles, the gifts of healing. And so these are God things. Don't you want God things? Don't you think we need God things in our day? We've got to have those God things. If we come and we don't have a move of the Holy Ghost, we shouldn't even come to church. We really don't have a right to come to church unless we're coming here for the express purpose of exalting him and getting into that place where he can speak to us, where he can change us, where he can challenge us. I don't want to go to church unless that's the way it is. We don't have a right to exist. But when we do come to church that way, it's going to challenge us and it's going to change us. And sometimes, even though it's exhorting us or it's edifying us, sometimes it's convicting also. It's not condemning, but it's convicting. There's been times when the Holy Ghost spoke and I just went, "Oh my." Sometimes God's used me to speak by the Holy Ghost and it convicts me. You know, preachers can get convicted right in the middle of their sermon, and sometimes it's not a bad idea. And you're preaching along, and the Holy Ghost takes over, and then the burden comes. So we want all three of these things happening in our midst. And there are four levels of information that happen, or of ministry. First is information. God gives us information. Then the next level is inspiration. The third level is revelation. And the fourth one is demonstration. And if you'd stand with me, we'll get ready to wrap this up. Is God gives us information, inspiration, revelation, and demonstration. Those are the four things that happen when the gifts of the Spirit begin to move. And each one of them have their separate and distinct purpose. And again, timing is everything. And I want to say to you, before we go on and get in depth on these lessons, is that there could be multiple gifts happening all at the same time and never conflict with each other. And I've been in places, and I remember the first time I talked to him about this, Brother Doug Kleindienst is we were after church one day, and somebody came up and said, "What did you prophesy to me?" And he said, "I don't have a clue." It's because you're crawling over the pews and laying hands on people, and you're just giving words as you go. And this is the thing. The word is not for me. It's for them. So I don't need to remember it. They need to remember it. And I used to have people say, "So exactly how did you say that? Did you say that?" I don't have a clue. And when the altar time happens or worship time happens at Portland Pentecostals, and you begin to pray for one another, and as we've said, in this crazy time, put your mask on, come pray for them from behind. Don't worry about it. Lay hands on them. I mean, we've got to do something. There's something that happens, a transfer of power. And if they say, "No, get in front of me," then get in front of them. Brother Joe posted online yesterday, in all this time of COVID and cooties, "I need some preacher spit." And I used to say, "Preacher spit will fix anything." That's what I used to tell the guys I work with. You know, it'll help. But as you begin to pray for one another, you could be given a word of wisdom. Somebody else could be given a word of knowledge. And somebody be used in the gifts of healing, all at the same millisecond. Because the gifts are not just for the preacher or the church leadership. They're given to profit with all. And God uses us all as individuals. The big key with the gifts is, as long as we're submitted to an authority, then there's safety. Just like when Brother... forgot his name. Can you give me that? I've been drinking too much soda out of the aluminum can. Sister Anna, maybe we can fix that later. Brother Becton, when he stopped me, it was timing was everything. As you use that redemptively, but we can prepare for the gifts of the Spirit. That's what I want to leave you with tonight. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27 says this: "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, for he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." So if you want to be used in the public gifts or those gifts, make intercession for the saints. Start with praying for the church of the living God. And then the second thing that I want to say is there's a progression of sensitivity. We need to pray, first of all, for people in general. Pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ so you're connected with them in your spirit. And the Bible says we are to bear one another's burdens. Then feel for them. When I pray for people, I ask God to let me feel what they feel. And sometimes when I pray for people, I ask for them to feel things that I think that they need to feel, and I let the Holy Ghost direct me. And then watch the people. If God gives you, be ready. When the worship time comes and you feel the Holy Ghost moving and the Holy Ghost says, "Go pray for them," go pray for them. You might say, "Well, what am I going to say?" You usually don't think about what you say anyway. No, we overthink it sometimes, right? We go up and start a conversation with them in English and it's like no big deal. Well, why can't it be that way and that organic as far as the kingdom of God? And some of the most powerful times we've had, like I remember a lady, her name was Colleen McCoy. She was the first one that got the Holy Ghost in our church 30 years ago. And I remember she had had surgery and she had had her gallbladder removed and she still had pain. I don't know how many times she came for prayer. And by the way, my policy is keep praying until God says shut up or he heals you or you die. And then you don't have to worry about talking. But we'll be all right. And she'd come and get prayer. And one day, I was walking in that little church building. I was walking down the side aisle. And I just reached my hand out and put my hand on her forehead and said, you're healed in Jesus' name. And then I thought, oh my goodness, what did I say? But I didn't overthink it. Her pain was gone from that moment on. And to this day, my wife talked to her a couple months ago. That pain's still gone, and it's been 20-some years. Don't overthink it. This is God's Spirit moving through you. Do you know what you're saying every time you speak in tongues? Okay, because if you do, we need to have a talk. No, the Holy Ghost makes intercession for us. It prays for us. So there are also levels of observation. So you've prayed for people. Now when you're in the house of God, sometimes there's a billboard that's lit up, and you know you can go give encouragement to your brother and sister. I mean, if they come to church and she's sitting over there and he's sitting over there, that's a billboard. That's what I call it, a billboard. Or somebody comes in and there's tears rolling down their face. Or you can see the angst. It's obvious. It's visible. Go talk to them and say, can I pray with you? And sometimes God can use you in those gifts of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit. He can tell you exactly what they need to do and you don't say, this is what you need to do. You may even put it in a parable. Or tell them what you did in a particular situation. Then watch the details and listen to the details. Listen to what people say to you so you know how to pray for them. You know, I remember one day I came and a lady came and she kneeled right there at the altar and I went and I was smart enough to say, I thought she needed the Holy Ghost. So I said, what do you want me to pray for you for? Oh, pray for my husband. So I prayed for her husband. She wasn't ready for the Holy Ghost. She needed the Holy Ghost, and she did eventually get the Holy Ghost. So timing, again, is everything. So, again, don't overthink it. Just because, say we're having a Holy Ghost rally, and there's 15 people at the front wanting the Holy Ghost, that doesn't mean everybody else is wanting the Holy Ghost or needing the Holy Ghost. And God's working on them in some other area of their life. And that's why we can have so many different things happen at the same time in the house of God. And then there are some observations that are hidden. And only God can reveal those to you and to me. So learn to pray in the Spirit. That's a big, big part of the gifts of the Spirit. Spend time talking to God. Spend time listening to the voice of God. If you want to talk for Him, speak with Him. And finally, I want to reiterate what I said last week. There's a voice sequence that often happens in my mind. It's usually when God wants to speak, He speaks. And you're just supposed to give it out. As I told you, when I walked by Colleen, I said, you're healed in Jesus' name. The next voice was the voice of the devil. It's like, why did you say that? You are an idiot. And then the third and the final voice is the voice of the flesh. That wrestles between the two of them, and we try to figure it out. So, you're going to hear the voices, I hope. Just listen to the voices. And I want to conclude with this verse of scripture. We'll skip a couple. This is how the gifts worked in the Old Testament. Is after that it says, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where there is a garrison of Philistines, and it shall come to pass that when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy. So the Philistines are opposing the children of Israel. Saul is anointed king, and so what they need a word from God, so they call the musicians to come and play. And after they sing, then there's a word from God. Now, strategically, there's a reason why Tuesday night's different, but usually we just let the worship go. We're entering into the presence of God, and you're going to see clear throughout the Old Testament that they worship, and then God speaks. Even David, they worshiped, then God speaks, because we're entering into his gates, entering into his courts. We're entering into that place. So please, 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 church. And again, you know how crowded we usually are on Sundays, and there's no room for altar. You know, and we're crawling over each other. Don't be afraid in this time to keep your mask on and go lay hands on your brother's or sister's shoulder and speak to them and let the Holy Ghost work through you and breathe through you. We really need each other. Dear Jesus, I pray that you would grant my request and our request, that you would move by the power of the Holy Ghost across this congregation with greater regularity. And Lord, I release your children, and I pray that you would release us, that we would freely speak what your word and your will and your purpose is. God, I pray that gifts that have been dormant in the lives of many men and women would come alive, and they would begin to speak with gifts of utterance, and they would lay hands on the sick, and that you would speak to them through words of wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits. We yield ourselves to you, and we invite you in, God. Move amongst your people. Stir us by the power of the Holy Ghost, I pray, in Jesus' name.